You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was presented by Dr. Dale A. Meyer. Its title, The Lonely Battles of Jesus. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Oh my God! I wish I had somebody to talk to. You do. He's your heavenly Father. We all battle loneliness. You and I cry out to talk to somebody, anybody. Your husband or wife died. You cry because you miss talking with your companion of so many years. You're young and have multiple sclerosis. You're surrounded by people who live the fast-paced life that you used to live. You feel so lonely. You're in a nursing home, alone. The family is hundreds of miles away or only blocks away. Doesn't make any difference. They don't visit you often enough. You're single and just had a baby. You chose adoption rather than abortion or raising the child by yourself. Now that the baby is gone, the pain of loneliness strikes deep. You work all day in a crowded office. You carpool or take the bus home. Then you walk into an empty apartment and you think, "Dear God, I wish I had someone to talk to." In 3 weeks, Diane and I will take our oldest daughter to college. I'm already feeling the pain of her coming absence. We all battle loneliness. It's not a physical battle. There can be thousands of people around, and you still feel alone. Loneliness is a spiritual battle. And there's a spiritual way for you to confront and conquer loneliness, and that way is Jesus. Now, Jesus often was in lonely places. Do you remember the early days of his public ministry? Can you imagine how lonely it was when he spent 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and being tempted by Satan? Do you remember when Jesus went to Nazareth, his hometown, and preached a sermon? Another lonely battle for Jesus. The people taunted him about his parentage and tried to throw him off a cliff. Jesus went from Nazareth to Capernaum and made that town the home base of his ministry. But he had to stay in Peter's house because Jesus never had a home of his own. Homeless people know loneliness. Or how about the hours before Jesus was crucified? Just before his passion, Jesus said to his disciples, "The hour is coming, in fact, it's here, when you will be scattered, everyone to his home, and you will leave me alone." Can't you picture Jesus' loneliness as he prayed in Gethsemane and his disciples slept? Can't you feel the loneliness, the helplessness, when Judas Iscariot led the thugs into the garden and they arrested Jesus and his disciples scattered as far and as fast as they could? And I know you can feel the lonely pain as the Roman soldiers pounded the nails through Jesus' hands and feet and raised him on the cross. You're not the only one to battle loneliness. Your Savior knows all about being in lonely places. Now, I'm not going to give you religious drivel that says, "Buck up. Make the best of it." I've no patience with positive thinking that is rooted in our own natural abilities. You know how that positive thinking line could be applied to loneliness. Jesus had his lonely battles, and therefore you should buck up and make the best of your lonely times. This is an important spot in today's message. Yes, of course, Jesus is an example for living, but Jesus is more. First and foremost, Jesus is your Savior. It's a fact that he saves people who know that their natural abilities and their own positive thoughts aren't enough. He saves people who are at the end of their rope. When you're feeling all the pain and helplessness of being alone, what do you want? Somebody who says, "Buck up"? No, you want a savior who comes to you, who is with you, and who himself will help you confront and conquer loneliness. So now I'm going to tell you about your Savior. Jesus was often in lonely places, but do you realize that with one exception, he was never really alone? When he was in the wilderness being tempted, when he was almost thrown out of Nazareth, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and so many other times when he seemed to be alone, he really wasn't. His Father was always with him. I'm not aware that Jesus ever cried out and said, "Oh my God, I wish I had someone to talk to." Jesus knew that his Father was always with him, with one exception. There was one time when God was not with Jesus. Matthew 27:46 says that when Jesus was on the cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus often was in lonely places, but this was the only time when he was really alone. My daughter Elizabeth, the one going to college in a few weeks, took journalism last year at Collinsville High School. Reporters are supposed to ask questions like, who, what, where, when, why, and how. We can apply those questions to this truly lonely person on the cross. Who was it that cried, my God, why have you forsaken me?" It's Jesus, totally. It's the Son of God and the Son of Man in that one person hanging on the cross. Some people think that the God part of Jesus left him, and so only the human part was left. And it was only that human part that cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" No. Jesus Christ is one person, one real person who cannot be divided. He doesn't come apart into a human half and a divine half. That's what the incarnation means. God has become flesh. It was one Christ, true God and true man, who was abandoned. The reporter asked, "Where and when did the God-man cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The where was on Calvary's cross, just outside the city wall of Jerusalem. There Jesus hung for about 6 hours. The reporter asked, "When was the Savior abandoned by God?" Not for the whole 6 hours that he hung on the cross. For early on, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And at the very end, he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." It was some time between the time when Jesus spoke his fourth word from the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" What really happened? The reporter asked this to get to the truth. This answer is awesome. The Son of God and the Son of Man was forsaken by God. In his profound loneliness, Jesus called out to God. Jesus cried out with the words of Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer, by night, and am not silent. The Son of God and the Son of Man, forsaken by God. You and I can identify with the other lonely times in Jesus' life. The hometown folks turn on him. The disciples flee. But this is totally different. How can we humans comprehend what was happening when the good and loving God forsook his own Son? How could such an awesome event come to pass? The answer is that God, who is holy and just, punished Jesus for your sins. The loneliness that you and I feel, the pain that cuts into our hearts, the helplessness that can make us feel so worthless, this is real. It's not simply the result of how you perceive reality. Loneliness is reality for sinners. Sin leads people away from God and away from each other. God created us for an intimate fellowship with one another and with Him. But when we go against His will and against His ways, we make our lot a lonely one. Isaiah 53 says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way." How did Jesus' abandonment come to pass? Isaiah also says, "The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Surely he took our infirmities and carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." The reporter asks, why? Why did God do this? Here the truth of the Savior comes home to your life. God did this so that when you find yourself in lonely situations, you can know that you're not alone. God punished Jesus to bring you back to intimate fellowship with him and with others. St. Paul says in Ephesians 2, "At that time you were without Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and strangers to the covenants of the promise. You had no hope and were without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. He came preaching peace, both to you who are far away and to those who were near, since by one Spirit he enables both of us to come to the Father. Therefore, you are no longer aliens and strangers, but fellow citizens with the believers and members of God's family." When you're battling loneliness, you're not alone. Because Jesus was alone, truly alone, that one time on the cross, you need not face the lonely circumstances of your life as if you were all alone. Listen to some Bible passages where God promises that he is with you. Psalm 9, verses 9 and 10, "Those who know your name will put their trust in you, for you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you." Hebrews 13, verse 5, "Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you." Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." And in Matthew 28:20, "The crucified and resurrected Christ, the one who was abandoned for your sake and who now lives, this Savior says, Lo, I am with you always." Now, because your God and Savior is with you, you have a dependable friend to talk to. When you want to cry out, "Oh my God, I wish I had somebody to talk to," you do. He's God, your Heavenly Father. He wants you to pray to him. Writer Charlene Scott tells of her friend who's confined to a wheelchair. "Well, dear," the friend wrote Ms. Scott, "when the 4th of July rolls around, it always makes me think of you. You were the last person I got to celebrate the 4th with. I believe it was 84. I'll always remember our swim at the park pool and the fireworks. From then on, the best I've been able to celebrate is watching the 4th festivities on TV." That prompted Miss Scott to reflect. "The length of time she's been housebound hit me after I received that letter. Since 1984, I have visited 7 Latin American countries during 3 different trips, and all that time, my friend has sat day after day, month after month, in the same chair beside her window, looking out at the changing seasons as her body grows more fragile and feeble. Are there any spiritual benefits to her loneliness? Miss Scott asks. The answer comes from her friend's letter. I'm doing good just to get through each day taking care of myself. We just do the best with what comes our way in life, and that's that. I literally pray myself through each day. When you think you're alone, you're really not. Because Jesus reconciled the holy and just God to you, you have a heavenly Father who is close and who invites you to talk with Him. Dr. Luther comments on the first words of the Lord's Prayer. He says, God would by these words tenderly invite us to believe that He is our true Father, and that we are His true children, so that we may with all boldness and confidence ask Him as dear children ask their dear father. How many battles with loneliness don't we fight and lose because we forget we have a Father who is close and waiting to hear our prayers? How many times when loneliness strikes a deep and painful blow into our hearts, don't you and I fail to tend to our hurt with the gospel of what our Savior has done for us? How many times do we feel so alone and so helpless, and we forget that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble? Oh, what peace we often forfeit! Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.